Jackson Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The vote was 51-49. The Senate confirmed Kash Patel as FBI director over the objections of Democrats like Dick Durbin of Illinois.
I'm convinced he's neither the experience, the judgment, nor the temperament to lead the FBI.
His critics fear Patel will use the Bureau to go after President Trump's political enemies. Republican Senator Mitch McConnell announced he will not seek re-election next year. CBS's Nicole Killian reports some fellow Kentuckians are already throwing their hats in the ring.
Former Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron indicated he plans to run for the seat, while Congressman Andy Barr says he's considering a possible bid.
National Security Advisor Mike Waltz says President Trump wants the war in Ukraine to end because it's been too brutal.
There has been ongoing fighting on both sides. It is World War I style trench warfare.
Paul says Trump wants the U.S. to have exclusive access to Ukraine's rare earth minerals as a thank you for supporting Ukraine. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Republicans want to cut Medicaid. Democrats are pushing back. Here's Lisa Hale.
After vowing earlier this week that he would not cut Medicaid, President Donald Trump on Wednesday indicated he's on board with a House Republican budget resolution that calls for $880 billion in cuts to the program. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin joined Democratic colleagues Wednesday to condemn that move. Baldwin says vulnerable Americans will be expected to pay and sacrifice so that Elon Musk and Donald Trump and their like can get massive tax cuts. Baldwin warns that cuts to the program that provides health insurance for low-income Americans will not be painless and will fall especially hard on rural Wisconsin.
A Republican bill that would ban students from using cell phones in the classroom passed the Wisconsin State Assembly on Wednesday. Republican lawmakers say the bill would be beneficial for the mental health of students and includes exceptions for emergencies or teacher-authorized educational purposes. State Democrats criticized the bill as a one-size-fits-all approach that doesn't make sense. They say any cell phone policies should include feedback from parents, teachers, and students. There's a new event happening next week in Wisconsin Rapids. The first community exchange will bring the community together to share ideas, make new connections, and help support one another. Hosted by Avenue Title and Blenker Construction, it will be on Wednesday, February 26th from 5 to 7 p.m. The evening will begin with design tips and tricks, followed by a social hour with refreshments provided. That's February 26th from 5 to 7 p.m. at 830 Huntington Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. Powers Bluff will be open this weekend. There are half-day and full-day sessions, and you can purchase tickets today online or at Powers Bluff in person this weekend. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Bobby Portis suspended 25 games. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks' Bobby Portis suspended for the next 25 games by the NBA after testing positive for a non-approved painkiller. Portis says he thought he was taking Toradol for an elbow injury. Instead, an assistant of his gave him a prescription for Tramadol, a painkiller banned by the league last spring. The Bucks host the Clippers tonight at Fiserv Forum. Giannis Antetokounmpo talking for the first time since suffering that calf muscle injury.
I feel a little bit of the discomfort on my calf. I've said this year I want to be smart. One of my goals is to be available for the playoffs. Obviously, we are 30 games away. It's a long time. But at the end of the day, like, my main focus is to take care of my body, be smart.
Both Giannis and Damian Lillard participating in practice yesterday.
We went hard, but not that hard. And so we'll see with him and Dame. We don't know yet.
That's head coach Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cold tonight, lows 0 to 5 below. Sunny and milder tomorrow, highs near 20. Continued warming for the weekend, mostly sunny and around 30 Saturday. More clouds and upper 30s Sunday. Right now it's 22.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? That's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Norm Kapinski from Appleton Cigar joins the show and makes a popcorn pick of the week. And then president of the Fox Valley Veterans Council, Tim Cody, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this February 20th, 2025. I have your host, James J. Maloff, here at 4:30 today. We're going to talk to our friend Kayla Rumbalski. She is with UW Extension. Looking forward to that. Been looking forward to this all week. Our great friend Jillian Alekna is in with us, marketing and events coordinator with our good friends at Visit Rome. We want to send a shout out to Nakusa Port Edward State Bank, sponsor in this segment. Jillian, how you been?
Good. Busy, definitely.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're approaching the end of February.
Crazy. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Time is a flat circle. It's crazy. I got to let the audience know, Jillian is awesome. Our friends at Visit Rome, for the whole time we've worked with you guys. It's interesting. Today's Cameron's birthday, and we've worked with Cameron a bunch and stuff. And great people, great friends, great relationship we have. You guys send us notes ahead of time, and we really appreciate that. Gives me a chance to prep for this interview. This list today is one of the bigger lists we've had. Mm-hmm. You ain't kidding. You are busy over there in Rome.
Yeah, we are.
Let's not waste any time. Let's dive right in. Wednesdays in winter, Bargo at Lake Sherwood Lodge.
Yeah, so I've mentioned this a couple times when I've been on the air with James. It's kind of like a mix of bingo and card games. Reach out to Lake Sherwood Lodge at 715-325-2636 if you want to sign up, or even if you're just curious, like, what is Bargo? Is it bingo? Like, what is going on here?
There's been a rise of card games.
Yeah.
The owner of our company the other day asked us, like, has anybody played euchre? Does anybody know euchre? Like, I've heard about other things too. And the combination of this is a real fun thing, especially this time of year. It's a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, February 22nd, wine tasting at Lake Sherwood Lodge. Another thing great this time of year.
Yeah, that'll be running from 2 to 5 p.m. And you can help the crew at Lake Sherwood Lodge pick out their new by-the-glass wines for the upcoming season. It is 6 wines for $20 a person. And no, it is not a full bottle, unfortunately. You get a taste.
Well, I will say right away, I don't know these wines, but I do know a bit about Lake Sherwood, and I know how great that place is. These are probably not your average wines. These are going to be something that are quite a selection.
Yeah.
And I got to think it's going to be pretty cool, especially you Lake Sherwood regulars, you know, a couple months from now, a year from now, or what have you, and you're sitting there having one of these wines, and you're like, you know, I helped pick this up. It's a nice bragging point. It's a nice fun note.
Yeah, exactly.
That is going to be a great one. If people want to sign up for this one, how can they do that, Jillian?
They can call the bar, Lake Sherwood Lodge, at 715-325-2636, or just stop in at the bar.
And more going on Saturday as well. You can even get both these events in.
Yeah. We have trivia at Lake Arrowhead from 3:30 to 6:30 p.m. Team registration begins 30 minutes before the start of the event, so starting at 3, you can register. It is $20 per team, and teams consist of 2 to 8 players. It'll be 6 rounds with 10 questions each, and there will be no cell phone usage or electronic devices. So don't pull up Alexa, Siri, Cortana, whatever AI you use, don't use it here.
You know, I haven't really done trivia in a decade or two.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if I've done it since like the rise of having all this information on our phones, the supercomputers that we have for phones now and everything. I would be tempted to look just because I love hearing the answers. And if the I didn't, but you get the answers from the trivia. So
yeah.
You get this. So you don't even have to cheat. You'll get the answer eventually. And yeah. And so much fun to do this. Again, this time of year, this is a great one to get you out of the house.
It is. And excuse me. If you can't make it to the Saturday, February 22nd trivia, just wanted to put the plug in there that Hoozles at the Lakes does have their trivia nights every Wednesday.
That's a good note. We love our friends over at Hoozles. We're sticking with Saturday, February 22nd. More karaoke coming up.
Yeah. So we're going back to Lake Sherwood Lodge from 7 to 11 p.m. You can enjoy karaoke with Two Bros.
Yeah, they do a great job. That's going to be a lot of fun. Start practicing, getting your vocal cords ready for that one, everybody.
Yes.
And you're staying at Lake Sherwood because the very next day they got another great event going on.
Yeah, 1 to 3 p.m. on Sunday, February 23rd, they have their meat raffle. Tickets go on sale starting at 12:30 p.m. And all of the meat comes from Rome Country Meats and Deli, which is right in Rome. If you've never been there, even if you're like, oh, I don't really like meat, they have pasta salads, they have baked goods, they have ice cream, pizza. They have you covered.
Yeah, yeah. Do you eat food?
Yes.
They got you covered.
Yes.
They really do a great job over there. Really good people, too. A shout out to our friends over there. Friday, February 28th through Sunday, March 2nd, a really important and fun invitational coming up at Sand Valley.
Yeah, so if any of the listeners have ever seen The Bear, the TV series, he does mention James Beard before. This is kind of like bringing that to the central Wisconsin area.
Yeah.
Sand Valley will be having the Friends of James Beard Chef Invitational starting at 11 a.m. Friday, February 28th. Through 11 a.m. Sunday, March 2nd. It's a fun way to have a little unexpected fun while the Midwestern winter melts away, or freezes, I guess, as I look out the window.
Yeah.
We're bringing together some of the best chefs in the Midwest for a weekend-long food affair that you simply cannot experience anywhere else. While you embark on a culinary journey, participate in a little friendly competition along the way. For more information or to see what chefs will be at this event, visit sandvalleypursuits.com/events, or you can click on our events calendar at visitromewi.com, and it should pop up.
We'll give that information again before we wrap up, too. And for those that are not familiar with the James Beard Award, to my sports fans out there, that's the equivalent of winning a Heisman Trophy.
Yes.
To a Grammy, an Emmy, an Oscar, whatever you want to think of. It's in that same realm. And I've actually known some people that were nominated for this award and how much it means to them just to be nominated.
Yeah.
And we've had some Wisconsin ties to this, too. We've had some Wisconsinites that have been nominated for this award over the years. That's really cool to bring that right here to Central Wisconsin. That's awesome. Tuesday, March 4th, had the second annual Fat Tuesday Chocolate Celebration. Mardi Gras, March 2nd, I think it starts this year. It's right around the corner.
Yep. March 4th.
March 4th, there it is.
No,
yeah.
That's okay. Lasting from 6 to 7:30 p.m., it's hosted by the Lester Public Library of Rome and their friends group. It is 100% free. Enjoy some games, snowshoeing. Knock on wood, there's still enough snow. A fire pit with s'mores, and of course, chocolate galore. So if you are a chocoholic and you just want to celebrate big, come on down to the Lester Public Library of Rome.
I've shared a lot on the airwaves here, and I don't know if I've ever shared this. My name is James, and I am a chocoholic.
Yes.
I am very much a chocoholic. Yes. This sounds awesome. I love our friends over at the Lester Library. Big shout out to them. This is a really fun event. Having it free for the families is really fun, too.
Yes, and it is completely family-friendly. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can go, kids can go, grandma, grandpa. Your neighbor.
Yeah, check it out, everybody. It's going to be a good time. We were talking trivia before. Well, Saturday, March 8th, got more trivia happening at Lake Arrowhead.
Yeah, so it's the same as the last one, lasting 3:30 to 6:30 p.m., $20 per team. Teams are 2 to 8 players. There will be 6 rounds with 10 questions each. And like I mentioned before, no cell phones or electronic devices of any kind may be used during the game.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're like, oh my gosh, I really want to play trivia, but when am I going to eat? Like, this is lasting in my supper mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. Lake Arrowhead has appetizers or meals or drinks that you can pick up in between the rounds and order just mm-hmm. as long as you're sitting back down before the next round starts.
Yeah. They'll work with you, work around that stuff too and everything. And it's so much fun. Be sure to check that out, everybody. Saturday, March 15th, Sugar Bush at Historic Point Boss, one of my favorite locations, favorite people to talk to, and one of my favorite subjects, maple syrup.
Yes. Lasting from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., you get to learn about the historic making of maple syrup from experienced cookers. Adults are $5, students are $3, and preschoolers and members of Historic Point Bass are completely free.
And one thing I like to mention, and the guys mentioned this when they're on the air with us, Mike Hittner and the gang, those prices are the same prices they were 10, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have kept that way for families, for people, so that they can attend this event. They do that a really nice gesture for the community.
Yeah.
I think the greatest way to say thank you to that is purchasing tickets and going to this event, let alone if you're able to and you're able-bodied and can help them keep history alive over there at Historic Point Boss. We always want more people over there, always looking for volunteers and looking for mm-hmm. people to be a part of it. Maybe this is a chance for you to dip your foot in the water. Maybe you want to go swimming afterwards and be involved more over there. It's a great opportunity to do that. 10 to 4 Sugar Bush at Historic Point Boss, Saturday, March 15th. And that same day, we've got another meat raffle going on at Cal's Corner.
Yep. 1 to 3 p.m. Tickets do go on sale an hour ahead of time, so at noon. Come for some food, fun, and a drink or two.
Yeah, enjoy yourself. Have a good time.
Mm-hmm. And I know you mentioned euchre earlier. Mm-hmm. I believe they have it every Monday or Tuesday.
Ah, I'm going to have to mention that stage. Oh, that's, yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah, very cool.
Yeah. If you want to fact check me, just go to their Facebook page.
We're speaking with our good friend Jillian Alekna from Visit Rome. We're going through some of the great events going on in the Rome area. And while I don't know if people, especially bringing up Mardi Gras and stuff, hey, St. Patrick's Day right around the corner.
Yeah.
They got a good event going on at Lake Arrowhead.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, not right on St. Patrick's Day, but close enough. Saturday, March 15th, they will be having their annual St. Patrick's Day festivities lasting from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Food specials, drink specials, live music, and you can also participate in the third annual 0.1K starting promptly at 6 p.m.
That's great.
No, that is not an error. James doesn't have to edit this. It is literally 1/10 of a kilometer. Don't blink, you'll miss it.
It's such a great one. It's such a great idea. That's so good. They have a lot of fun over there. That's going to be a really fun time.
Yeah, and then there will be live music by Yellow Pellet, a local band, from 7 to 10 p.m. in the lounge.
Hmm. I have to definitely check that out. And I don't know if I've heard of that band. That sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Check them out. Friday, March 14th, our Winter Farmers Market going on at Rome Town Hall.
Yeah, that'll be from noon to 3 p.m. With 20-plus talented vendors showcasing everything from handmade goods to seasonal treats, you will find the perfect gifts for everyone on your list, including yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We only have two more winter markets left, so this Friday, March 14th one, and then April 11th. And if you're already looking forward to summer, we move back to the town center, move back to every Friday, starting on May 16th.
Just hang in there, everybody.
Yep.
We're right there. We're so close. We're rounding third. We're heading to home plate here. And we're looking forward to that. And a big thank you to everybody that attends and all the vendors and people that are a part of the Winter Farmers Market, both in Rome and here in Rapids, all over. We appreciate our vendors and the hardworking people in those. We got a couple of big events coming up. I want to make sure to get what we get to, Jillian. And one of our favorite events coming up is Nakusa Walleye Days.
Yeah, so we're kind of moving out of the ice fishing season in Rome, but we're not completely out of it because right as soon as we finish it, we start up with Nakusa Walleye Days. During Walleye Days, you can snap a photo and register your biggest fish for a chance to win some big prizes. First place is $2,500. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Second place, nothing to sweat at, but $500 gift card, $500 cash, and a, is it Jacoby?
Yeah, Jacoby.
Yeah, Jacoby custom pool cue.
Man, and they make some of the best, if not the best, cues in the state. Mm-hmm. That is a get right there, let alone the other prizes, but part of it, man.
And then third place is a $300 gift card, $200 cash, and a guided fishing trip. Mm. Now, this does go from March 22nd through April 13th, but April 12th and April 13th are kind of the keystone events of this larger event.
Mm-hmm.
April 12th is the kids fishing tournament, which will be 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. completely free.
Mm-hmm.
And then April 13th will be the Jim Freeman Memorial Tournament. Once again, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And it is $100 per two-man team.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're like, Jillian, what are you even talking about? go to fornacusa.org, I believe.
Yes. Yeah.
And click on Walleye Days, and it should give you all the info or all of the latest up-to-date info. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Rules, regulations, all those things, too. And you can sign up from there as well. That website, again, is fornacusa.org. I had to double-check. I actually, one of the first things I did in this state when I first moved here was being a part of the kids' fishing tournament for Walleye Days when I was little. I had to double-check with my dad and stuff. This is such a fun event and a great way to get the community out, experience some fellowship, maybe see some people you haven't seen in a while. But I do want to send a shout out to the sponsors and to the people that work so hard on this event. Every year they blow me away with these prizes.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some really great prizes. Yeah. Like, that is amazing. Those are really nice. Enjoy the day. Have some fun out there, everybody. Monday, March 24th, a really important one. Lake Arrowhead is going to be having a job fair. They're going to be hosting.
Yeah. From 3:30 to 5:30 p.m., Lake Arrowhead is having one of their job fairs. They have a few coming up in March and going into April. Bring your resume. There will be on-site interviews for a variety of positions that are part-time, full-time, seasonal, and year-round commitments. You can speak directly with department managers and human resources. And some of the jobs include golf shop assistant, rangers, starters, golf cart attendants, lifeguards, host, hostess, cooks, etc., so on, so forth.
It's a, you know, I've talked to many people over the years that have worked over at Lake Arrowhead, and whether it was in the past or currently working there, and I just hear nothing but good vibes and good energy from that place. It's also, especially to younger people out there looking to get the resume built and everything, it's a great opportunity to do that. Working in any of these jobs as well are great assets to your future jobs. Also, mm-hmm. You really build a skill set doing these things and working with people and being able to, you know, work in a fast paced industry and stuff. Whether it's restaurants, hotels, whatever they might be, I always encourage people to take those jobs when they're young. You can build such a vast skill set doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great opportunity to even, especially if you're struggling to find work, to be able to be face-to-face with them and be able to really sell yourself. I think for most of us, we've all updated and we send our resumes online and do a lot of phone interviews, but there's nothing like being face-to-face with somebody, being able to sell yourself in the room face-to-face with that person.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you an opportunity that you may not have otherwise. A shout out to Lake Arrowhead for hosting this, and we'll be covering these as they have more of them as well. 3:30 to 5:30, you can check out the Lake Arrowhead Job Fair Monday, March 24th. As we're getting close to wrapping up here, Jillian, did want to mention another really cool one before we do, the Giant Board Games Week at Leicester Library of Rome.
Yeah, that'll be starting Monday, March 24th through Saturday, March 29th. If you're looking for something to do over spring break, come and have some fun at the library and play some life-sized children's games. This is a drop-in event through that entire week, so you don't have to pre-register. It is completely free, and we hope to see you there.
That is going to be a lot of fun. Jillian, tough question. Do you have a favorite board game?
Oh, gosh.
Uh-huh. And I ask the tough questions on this show.
Yeah, you really do. I don't know about right now, but I remember as a kid, There was one game called Hi-Ho Cherio or Candyland.
My sister loved that one. Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, and your sister's Jillian, so it must be a Jillian thing.
It's got to be a Jillian thing. Yeah, that one's a great one. Those are great ones. And of course, keep in mind as well that they've got their second annual Fat Tuesday Chocolate Celebration also happening in Leicester Public Library Tuesday, March 4th. That is going from 6 to 7:30, hosted at the Leicester Public Library of Rome. Find out more about that and get your chocolate fix and all the above. And there are other great events going on through March and April. We'll be talking with Jillian next month a little bit more about those. And we know that we go through a lot of these kind of quickly. There's a lot to cover in a short amount of time here. But as we're going through this, maybe you're in your car, you're in the office hearing us or what have you, and you can't write some of these down. Well, Jillian, if they want to find out other information or sign up for some of these events, they can do that just going to your website, right?
Yeah, just go to visitromewi.com. Or if you want to just give us a call, our number is 715-325-3100.
And every month you hear our friends from Visit Rome for years now come on the airwaves and promote the Rome area and the Nacusa area and do such an amazing job of promoting that area and buying local, supporting local. That's what this whole time is about. I think that one of the best ways, similar to what I was saying earlier with our friends at Historic Point Boss, is the best way to say thank you is showing their friends at Visit Rome that we appreciate them. You can do that visiting their website, liking their social media accounts, and sharing their posts on your page. You don't know who might see them otherwise. Mm-hmm. And not for nothing, they got some great gear over there, you guys. Like, I am very lucky to have a couple of shirts from there, and I love them. I take very good care of them because they are soft and they are comfortable.
Yes.
And while you're walking around in those clothes, you are advertising. You are a walking billboard for Visit Rome. You're helping your area. You're helping support your community. In the last couple of years, we know our friends up north have been hit hard with the lack of snow and some of that. And we're all looking for different ways to impact our communities, help our communities. Here, right locally, we have such a great asset in Visit Rome. And here's a wonderful, easy, frankly, way to support Visit Rome and the great work they're doing. And in supporting them, you're supporting the whole area.
Yeah, exactly.
A rising tide raises all boats. You help Rome, the Visit Rome gang, and you're going to be helping out the whole Rome area, the whole Nacusa area. You hear what we're doing here. We're promoting all these businesses on these airwaves, and not all of them advertise with us, and that doesn't matter. We're still going to promote you. We're still going to support you. That's what we do around here. It's what they do at Visit Rome, is buy local, support local. Jillian, if people have follow-up questions, would like to know more about what we talked about, how can they reach you?
Either by phone, 715-325-3100, or feel free to reach out to us at info@visitromewi.com.
Be sure to do that, everybody. And again, like their pages on social media. Share what you see on your pages. You just never know who might see it otherwise. Jillian, say hi to the gang over there for us. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Yeah, talk to you soon.
Do want to send a big shout out again also to Nacusa Port Edward State Bank, sponsoring this segment. We appreciate them doing that and appreciate all of you out there. Stick around. We got more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Nacusa Port Edwards State Bank is your locally owned, full-service community bank in Nacusa, Port Edwards, and the town of Rome. Since 1913, they've been helping area communities, businesses, and individuals with their financial needs and are happy to sponsor these What's Happening in Rome live discussions. Hope you enjoy the updates. Everyone at Nacusa Port Edwards State Bank is proud to be part of these exciting developments in the town of Rome. Remember, when in Rome, bank at Nacusa Port Edwards State Bank. Member Equal Housing Lender, FDIC Insured.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
You believe in miracles? Yes! It's game day every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WFHR's Playmakers. Thanks to local businesses Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods, you can join us 5 to 6 with your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. Covering local sports like no one else.
Clearing it out, and it is almost caught.
We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players and coaches, and you. 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WFHR's Playmakers.
Get out of here!
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Do you know who the very first black radio disc jockey was? Lisa Hale has that answer for Black History Month.
Jack Leroy Cooper is a history maker for American entertainment. He was born in 1888 in Memphis, Tennessee. He started as a boxer. Then he worked as a singer and a dancer on the vaudeville circuit, eventually becoming the theater critic for the Chicago Defender. In the 1920s, he appeared on radio as an entertainer or a comedian. But in 1929, he became the host, the producer, and the announcer of the All Negro Hour on WSBC in Chicago, making him the first African-American radio announcer in the United States. The once-a-week variety show was devoted to black performers. He was very cognizant of negative racial stereotypes and made certain not to allow these stereotypes to be part of his show. Later, the show incorporated news from the African-American community. In 1937, his show was heard 5 days a week, featuring black music from jazz to blues to gospel. He is one of the first people to ever play records over the radio. In 1947, Cooper's production company controlled 40 hours of programming every week on 4 different radio stations in Chicago. He retired from broadcasting in 1959 and died in Chicago in 1970 at the age of 81. In 2012, he was inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame. Today we honor Jack Leroy Cooper, the first African-American disc jockey, radio innovator, and the undisputed patriarch of black radio in the United States as a history and culture maker for Black History Month.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The third season of White Lotus has dropped on Max, and the HBO show has created some controversy thanks to nitpicky social media followers always looking for something to overanalyze. Every season has a new cast, location, and theme music. Season 2's theme music was so popular, it played in nightclubs across Europe. Season 3's theme music has not been well received. Great thing to stress over in this day and age. If you haven't seen White Lotus yet, give it a chance. Saturday Night Live kicks off a new 50 years in March. March hosts will include comedian Shane Gillis and Lady Gaga. Neither are strangers to the SNL stage. Gillis will host the show for the second time on March 1st. The musical act will be Tate McRae. Gaga will wear hosting and musical hats as she covers both roles on March 8th. Gaga has hosted the show before and performed as the musical guest 4 times previously. Wonder if they'll be invited to the 100th. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cold tonight, lows 0 to 5 below. Sunny and milder tomorrow, highs near 20. Continued warming for the weekend, mostly sunny and around 30 Saturday, more clouds and upper 30s Sunday. It's 24 right now.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we continue our live coverage of the American Birkebeiner from downtown Hayward, Wisconsin. Brady Ewing, Peter Rapine, and you join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, February 20th, 2025. I have your host, James J., here with you, and we're joined right now by our great friend, Kayla Rumbalski, Community Development Educator, Wood County, UW Extension. Kayla, good to have you with us.
Hi, James. Good to be here. Thanks so much.
Appreciate you being able to make the time. Kayla had a very busy day today and still was able to get us on the airwaves. That's just how much you mean to all of her out there and she means to you and all that. And we appreciate the time. And what we're going to be able to get into today, Kayla, because we're going to talk about the 2025 grant writing basics classes that you guys are doing over there at Extension.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple of caveats before we dive into this topic. I am going to completely avoid the topic of federal funding and federal grants. We know that there's a lot of uncertainty happening at a federal level right now. So when we talk about grant writing today, we're talking about some state funding, some state grants that are available, and then also private philanthropies and foundations that have grants available. We're just going to ignore that elephant in the room that could be federal funding at this point.
Yeah, that's a smart idea. I feel for you that you have to, but I understand and appreciate the caveat there. Let's go ahead and dive right in, Kayla.
Sure, yeah. So we are hosting, I'm part of a statewide team of Extension educators that is again hosting a series of grant writing basics workshops. So this is a perfect workshop for someone who maybe is in a new role with a nonprofit organization. Maybe they're working as a town clerk at a local town or municipality, and they're really looking to increase their capacity with additional funding and thinking that the right way to go about that might be by applying for grants to either private foundations or, there are several state grants that are available. So maybe thinking that they might want to pursue one of those. This workshop that I'm hosting with some Extension colleagues is really a great starting point to dive into what do you need to know? How do you go about preparing that grant application? What are some things you should think about before you even dive in to the work of writing grants? And so we're offering these workshops, we do them annually, and we offer them free of charge to anyone across the state. It's a virtual Zoom call that folks can jump on. They're 2 hours long, and really, again, we'll give you that great foundation of what to expect when applying for a grant.
And Kayla, this is a topic that I just learned more about as I started doing this particular job. I had never really thought much about grants, grant writing, what goes into it. It's a much deeper topic than I think most people would think on the surface. And the difference between getting your grant, getting the grant and not, sometimes can be the simplest of things. Can we go through some of the basics of what you do in this class?
Yeah, absolutely. So really a couple of the tips that I suggest. So grant writing comes down to, preparing to write the application. And in many ways, that preparation that you do is harder than writing the application itself. So there's a lot of focus in the workshop on what you need to do to prepare to write your first grant and then to prepare to submit it. And we spend a little bit of time talking about, hey, great, you received the grant. Here's what you need to do in the next part of the process. But really, we walk you through everything you would need to know when you're thinking about it. So the first thing that we're going to do is talk about let me back up. Before we talk about researching a grant, the first thing that we're going to do is talk about what is a grant. What do we mean when we say grant? So a grant typically is an award. Typically it's financial and it's given by one entity to another entity, either an individual or a company, to facilitate a goal or incentivize performance. So when we say one entity, sometimes it's a company, a corporate grants officer or grants department. Sometimes it's a foundation. Sometimes it's a government. I just came off of a broadband meeting for the county. So we're talking about internet access and digital equity. The Public Service Commission of Wisconsin has lots of grants available right now. And there's a lot of funding coming down from the federal level for broadband access and deployment. And so when we talk about grants, you know, that's a perfect example. The Public Service Commission of Wisconsin puts out what they call a NOFO, or a notice of funding opportunity. You know, there always have to be these fun acronyms, right?
Yeah.
We couldn't do this without acronyms.
No.
So they put out their notice of funding opportunity, and then they expect and sort of request that municipalities and different organizations are going to apply to receive the funds that they have to give out. So that's some of the first step in these workshops. You know, we talk about what is a grant, what can you apply for grant funding for, like what types of activities can you apply for grant funding for, and then we really dive into the research phase. So this is most commonly people's first question is like, okay, so you're telling me that there are grants out there. You're telling me that I can find this funding, but how do I find it? Or how do I know where to look? What if I don't know about private foundations that exist in my area? How do I figure out who has, you know, who has the money and where they're giving it? So we kind of walk through some of the common places to find grants, looking at, you know, different research libraries, the access that the internet has and makes available. And we actually walk you through, as a participant, the 990 form. That's an IRS form that all funders need to complete. And we walk you through that and talk about how you can use that form, that tax form, which is publicly available, to figure out from a private foundation, say, or a family foundation, what their typical funding looks like for organizations, who might be someone that you could have in your corner. So we walk you through how to figure out, like, who's on the board for that foundation. So if you wanted to have an in with that funder, who would you need to talk to? And then once we cover research and we kind of get you through that process, then we talk about how to prepare for the grant, how to actually tell your story and explore the idea of what you're wanting to fund. We give some information on plain language, so really using concise and clear concepts and goals in your grant application, and being able to tell a compelling story and really tell that funder why they should pick you, right? And I often compare grant writing sometimes to writing a resume and a cover letter, right? It's the same kind of concept.
That's good.
Yeah, if you're looking for funds as an organization, it's very similar to when you as an individual are telling your company, this is why you should hire me. This is why I stand apart from all of the other candidates. So when you're doing a grant writing, you know, when you're writing a grant or when you're telling that story, you're doing a similar thing, really. You're looking at why you stand apart, what makes your project unique, and what makes it compelling enough that the funder would want to say yes and to give you the money you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of walk you through that process of all of the things. Kind of, if I can use the term, getting your ducks in a row. You know, walking you through how to get them all lined up, how to make sure that you've got everything ready to go before you ever actually start writing in the grant application and applying. And then once we've done that, we walk you through the types of grant applications and what you need to pay attention to when you're writing a letter of intent. So that really is an introduction to your idea. And then what you need to pay attention to when you're filling out a long proposal or a full proposal for the funder. And again, different funders have different types of requests when it comes to grant writing. You know, if you're applying for
I mentioned the Public Service Commission earlier. Some of those grants are quite lengthy, and they're asking for a lot of information, typically because they're giving out larger amounts of money. But we kind of walk you through all of that, make sure that you feel comfortable with what you would be asked to provide. And then we have some time. So this is 2 hours, right? So there's a lot of information to cover in a short time. But we save some time at the end to talk about your relationship with the funder, to talk about like some common, grant writing mistakes. And answer questions that people have. So it's really a crash course in grant writing, but in today's world where funding and budgets are really tight, and we know that, typically especially our nonprofit organizations are being told, do more with less, do more with less. We're going to cut staffing and expect that you can do the same amount of work. Typically, one way to increase your capacity is to apply for grant funding, either to hire staff or to take on a new project that maybe will bring in some revenue. And so this workshop really gives you the foundational skills that you need to be able to do that.
We're speaking with Kayla Rombalski, community development educator at Wood County and UW-Madison Extension. And Kayla, you bring up such great points, especially with what is happening with a lot of our nonprofits, a lot of our government organizations, and the cutting and the funding that is going on. And so for some of those groups, maybe they haven't been in this situation in a while or at all. And I think one of the first thoughts that I had with this, and it's actually come up with other nonprofits we've talked to when it comes to grants and grant writing, is there's some people that may not even realize there is a grant available for them.
Right.
And it sounds like that's something that you guys help hone down as well, like to anybody out there listening that's thinking about taking this course or doing any of this. You may think, well, there's no help for me out there. There may be help available. You just don't know about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And not only that, but maybe it's not a grant, but maybe there's a, a funder or someone who's planning for their estate planning. So maybe end of life planning, maybe they've been fortunate in life to have amassed some wealth, and they're looking at how they're going to distribute that after they pass. And so, folks like that also potentially could be sources of funding. And so even if you're not writing a grant, my point in bringing this up is even if you're not writing a physical grant, the process that you go through to write a grant just helps you to hone your story and to really be able to have that compelling argument so that maybe there is, you never know who you're going to meet and how they're going to impact you either immediately or later in life. And maybe there is a funder out there that is interested in your project and really wants to support you with an investment of capital to move it forward.
It's such a great point. And while I personally am focusing a lot on nonprofits and businesses out there, this is an individual thing too to keep in mind.
Absolutely. Yeah. And especially for those entrepreneurs that are out there in the community and, they have these business ideas and, you're wondering, you're working your day job and wondering if you could ever take it to the next level. The skills that you do in grant writing, the skills that you really need to build in being an entrepreneur and telling your business story, giving that pitch, if you will, are similar. And so I think any practice that you can get in being able to craft that story and hone in what makes you unique and what you're in business, we call it a unique selling proposition. But what sets you apart, I think, is an important skill to have and certainly will lead to success down the line.
Well, and a great point to bring up with this, and especially with everything else we've talked about and what the world that we're in right now that we all understand, grants are only going to become more and more popular. So you may actually be finding a new line of work here by taking this course and learning how to do grants to a great level. And just in the point too of there, these skill sets that you learn from this, that you grow from this, you can use to so many different aspects of your life and your job, your career.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And
it's
Kayla,
a really good skill to have.
Yeah. And Kayla, sorry, I had one other thought here, too, that just popped in my head as we were talking about this. Because, again, I'm focusing so much on our nonprofits, and I think understandably so with everything we talked about beforehand. But there are students out there that are going to be applying for grants for school and other programs, possibly. They could probably be benefited by this, too.
Right. Very true. So this workshop specifically is more focused on the nonprofits, like you said, but mm-hmm. I think the skills are transferable. So if they're applying for, you know, for tuition assistance, those types of things, there are some skills that would transfer over and certainly could be beneficial to them.
And I love, I'm a huge sucker, and I love learning, just in general, period. I don't care what the subject is. I just love to enjoy learning very much. And I think to those fellow knowledge lovers out there, this is something that you take in a class that you take, and you, again, you don't know where this skill set could really truly be applied to, and you don't know when this might come in handy. Maybe you don't need a grant right now, and that's great if you don't, but you may need it down the line. Somebody you know may need it, and this course is going to become really handy then, especially maybe the course isn't around when it's needed. So it's a great opportunity to get that knowledge.
Absolutely. So we've shared a bunch about what to expect from the class, but we haven't shared the dates yet, James. So I think maybe we should dive into that.
All right. You know what? Yeah, you've been a good audience. Let's go ahead and give it to them. Let's.
Right. I suppose we should give them the logistics of what to expect. So I have an easy website for once for listeners. I know that that's typically a rarity for me. but if the listeners go to GOWISC, so gowisc.edu/grantwriting. They will be able to find all of these resources on our website. We have two workshops coming up in March. They are Tuesday, March 11th from 6 to 8 p.m., so an evening offering there, and then Wednesday, March 12th from noon to 2. So these are two separate workshops. It's not a series. You don't have to attend both. The same content will be covered at each. And again, that two-hour workshop, it's free. It's really a great crash course on grant writing and understanding what are grants and how to find them. And we offer it to anyone across the state. We also have some fall offerings already scheduled. So we'll be offering it on Monday, September 22nd from 6 to 8, and on Tuesday, September 23rd from noon to 2.
Mm.
And more information on that can be found at the website.
And great opportunities. And I will probably have you give that website one more time before we wrap up, Kayla. But before we do, sure. I did have one last question for you. And in doing all this work and everything, and I guess I don't know how much you came into this subject knowledge-wise, but did you learn a lot from doing this and learning more about grants? And did you have your mind open to some things too?
Absolutely. So I have a nonprofit background. I came at my role with Extension through the Chamber and through United Way. So at United Way, we were responsible for grant writing. You know, I was an employee of United Way, but I actually led the volunteer center at United Way. And so I had to apply for funds the same way that many other nonprofits that are funded through United Way do. And so I learned a little bit about grant writing through that. And then obviously at the Chamber, from an economic development standpoint, we were looking at funding to fund some of our Chamber programs and activities. And so learned a little bit about grant writing through that experience, and it just continues to hone, right? So it, like you said, you're a lifelong learner. I believe in lifelong learning. I think you would be hard-pressed to find an Extension educator like myself and like my colleagues over at the Extension office that are not lifelong learners or do not believe in lifelong learning. It's a big part of what we do at Extension. With that, I believe that even if you're, you know, even if you're a professional grant writer, there are people that do this for a living, they're still going to pick up skills and tips and tricks along the way, things that they, you know, they may not have known before and now
have picked up from another participant in the workshop, or have picked up from sitting in on the workshop. So It's always a great opportunity to continue to learn and grow.
That's very cool. Thank you for sharing that. And a great encouragement to the audience out there to sign up. Kayla, one more time, give them the website of how they can sign up.
Sure. So the website is HTTP. HTTPS /go.wisc.edu, so wisc.edu/grantwriting, all one word, all lowercase. And that'll bring you to the website where you can learn more.
Yeah. And you can find out more about Extension at their website, extension.wisc.edu. Be sure to follow them on social media as well and share the posts that you see on there on your page. You just never know who might see these things otherwise. Kayla, it is always good hanging out and talking with you. If people have follow-up questions and would like to know more from you, is there a way to reach you?
Of course. You can reach me in a variety of means. I think I've joked on this show before that, if you want to send me a carrier pigeon, I'm sure I can figure out how that works.
Morse code, smoke signals.
Morse code, all of those things. Email might be the most conventional and probably the easiest way. So my email is the first letter of my first name and then my last name at wisc.edu. So that is K. Rombalski, R-O-M-B-A-L-S-K-I, at wisc.edu. My phone number at the office is 715-421-8445. So people can reach me that way as well. Would be happy to answer follow-up questions or talk to folks with whatever they want to discuss.
Great job today. Always fun hanging out with you, Kayla. Thank you so much for the time. You have a great one.
Yeah, you as well. Thanks so much, James.
Thank you. And a big thank you to all of you out there for listening. We appreciate you. We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Oh, Randy Manor is here.
What can you do about this? Focus on what you can impact. Find the courage to speak up to your elected official. If you are silent, then your elected official at the local, state, or federal level will think you completely agree with whatever it is you're doing.
Silence equals acceptance.
Correct.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, our regular Week in Review panels, including Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze, Kia Vakil from Courier Newsroom, and Jim Santel.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Governor Kathy Hochul has decided not to remove New York City Mayor Eric Adams from office as the Justice Department tries to get the corruption charges against him dropped.
I cannot deny the people of this great city this decision for themselves.
Instead, Hochul will push for more oversight of City Hall. The longest-serving leader in Senate history, Kentucky Republican Mitch McConnell, will not run for re-election next year.
Serving as a Republican leader was a rare and, yes, rather specific childhood dream.
McConnell was first elected to the Senate in 1985. Hamas has released the remains of four hostages, including what are believed to be the bodies of a mother and her two young sons. The BBC's Mark Lowen is in Jerusalem.
Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said his nation's heart was broken and called Hamas monsters, vowing to settle scores.
Several empty buses have exploded near Tel Aviv. Police call it a suspected terror attack. No reward of injuries. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Republicans want to cut Medicaid. Democrats are pushing back. Here's Lisa Hale.
After vowing earlier this week that he would not cut Medicaid, President Donald Trump on Wednesday indicated he's on board with a House Republican budget resolution that calls for $880 billion in cuts to the program. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin joined Democratic colleagues Wednesday to condemn that move. Baldwin says vulnerable Americans will be expected to pay and sacrifice so that Elon Musk and Donald Trump and their like can get massive tax cuts. Baldwin warns that cuts to the program that provides health insurance for low-income Americans will not be painless and will fall especially hard on rural Wisconsin.
A Republican bill that would ban students from using cell phones in the classroom passed the Wisconsin State Assembly on Wednesday. Republican lawmakers say the bill would be beneficial for the mental health of students and includes exceptions for emergencies or teacher-authorized educational purposes. State Democrats criticized the bill as a one-size-fits-all approach that doesn't make sense. They say any cell phone policies should include feedback from parents, teachers, and students. There's a new event happening next week in Wisconsin Rapids. The first community exchange will bring the community together to share ideas, make new connections, and help support one another. Hosted by Avenue Title and Blenker Construction, it will be on Wednesday, February 26th from 5 to 7 p.m. The evening will begin with design tips and tricks, followed by a social hour with refreshments provided.